We're going to be reading Psalm 121 this morning. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time on and forevermore. That is a good, optimistic message about how God takes care of us, watches over us, preserves us, protects us, provides for us, all those good things and the way we should look at God and the way we should live our lives is optimistically. Give you a kind of a comparison between the optimist and the pessimist. The optimist tells the pessimist, isn't this a beautiful Sunday day? And the pessimist says, well, it may be. If the heat spell doesn't stop very soon, the grass is all going to die. A couple of days later, the optimist tells the pessimist, isn't this rain wonderful? The pessimist replies, well, if it doesn't stop soon, my garden is going to wash away. And isn't that how a lot of people look at life? We use the glass half full and the glass half empty comparison. The pessimist always looks at the bad side. The optimist always looks at the good side. And I would hope that we as Christians are all optimists. A little story about an optimist and a pessimist going duck hunting. And they get in the duck blind and the optimist is telling the pessimist, look at my new registered dog. Does great things. You're going to just absolutely be amazed at what this dog can do. Pessimist looks at the dog and says, ha, looks like any old stupid dog to me. Well, the optimist shoots a duck, lands right square in the middle of the lake, snaps his fingers, and the dog goes tearing off across the lake, gets the duck, and brings the duck back on top of the water, all the way out and all the way back. The optimist looks at the pessimist. He says, see, I told you, this is an amazing dog. The pessimist looks at the optimist and says, yeah, it's just another stupid dog, doesn't know how to swim. We face that kind of thing every day in life. We face those people that cannot find good in anything. They have always got the wrong attitude. The optimist looks at life and says, it's enough to make a person use their religion, where the pessimist says it's enough to make a person lose their religion. Christians have to be optimistic about life, and that's what the psalmist is trying to tell us. No matter what storms we face, no matter what trials we face, we should be optimistic about life because God is there for us. The psalm, first of all, tells us that the Lord is my provider. He tells us, where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. And the Living Bible translates those two verses this way. It says, shall I look to the mountain gods for help? No, my help is from Jehovah, who made the mountains and the heavens too. If you look at God from the standpoint as he created all this stuff, then he has control over all of these things here on earth. So how can anything go wrong if God is in control? And that's how we should approach things. We shouldn't let things in life shake us because God's there with us at our right hand. Three things about him providing for us. He provides for us security. He helps us with everything we do. He watches over us and gives us security in our lives. Proverbs 26:10 says, the great God who formed all things. And in Jeremiah says, ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for you. Well, if there's nothing too hard for God, remember that he can do anything to help you. Psalm 115:3 says, "But our God is in heaven, and he does whatever he pleases." He pleases to please us. So if he's in heaven doing those things that he pleases, and he wants us to be happy, healthy Christians, then he does those things that please him to please us. He is our hope in times of tragedy. He is powerful, more powerful than anything you can imagine. Give you a little analogy. The sun, they consider that to be just an average-sized star, sun. It's 864,000 miles in diameter, which means it contains 2 billion, billion, billion tons of gas. Its core reaches 25 million degrees Fahrenheit, and it consumes 657 million tons of hydrogen every second. That's amazing. That's a powerful thing. But that sun, as powerful as it is, doesn't make God break a sweat. Where it might make us sweat, God is more powerful than that sun, and he don't sweat over it. Lightning. A single bolt of lightning has great power. Did you know it takes 20,000 volts to jump 1 inch? And think about how far that lightning comes from the ground to the sky. That's a lot of power. That is in the kilowatts of power, even though it only lasts a few seconds. And again, God is more powerful than that bolt of lightning, where it might shake us when we hear the thunder. It doesn't even faze God, because he's more powerful than anything on earth, anything that we might come up against. That lightning can dig craters, burn down forests, do all kinds of devastation, but God cannot be hurt. God is more powerful than that. And if God is more powerful than that, you know he can provide us with security. He also provides us with stability. In verse 3, it says, "He will not allow your foot to be moved." Every once in a while, we run up against that trial that just pushes us or gives you that right cross. And we wonder all about what's going to happen. The psalmist tells us he will not allow us to be moved. He's not going to let you get knocked over. He keeps you stable. To be moved, the literal translation, is to slip. He's not going to let you slip. We talk about people backsliding and slipping and those kinds of things, but if God is truly with you and walking at your right hand, you might slip a little bit, but he's not going to let you be moved. He's not going to let you slip and fall. Stability. So he gives us security. He gives us stability. He also gives us serenity. That peace within us. Verse 3 and 4 says, "He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep." God watches over us 24/7, 365. He's always there, always ready to help you no matter what time of the day or night it is. He does not sleep. He watches over us. Back in World War II, when the Germans were bombing England, there was a small community that had a particularly bad bombing run, and the people in the community, after it was over with, went looking for survivors and bodies and all those things that they do. And there was this one elderly lady they could not find. Well, they finally found her, and this God-fearing grandmother was asleep in her bed in her small little bedroom. And the people looked at her like, "How can you sleep through that?" And she says, "Well, my Lord says he will not sleep, he will not slumber. So I figured, why should both of us be up tonight?" And that's the right attitude to have. Have that peace within you to know that God is there. And God does not sleep so that we can sleep, so that we can feel His comfort and His love no matter what comes up against us. The psalm also talks about how the Lord is our protector. Verse 5, the Lord is your keeper. And if you'll notice, there are many times in that psalm where it says keep. He keeps us. He is our keeper. He is our protector. He talks about the shield. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. Think about the soldiers back in that day. They had their shield in their left hand. It was pretty well protected. They had their sword in their right hand. It's exposed. So when the Bible tells us God stands at your right hand, means He's standing at your weakest point, protecting you. That's why the Bible always refers to God standing at your right hand, because that is what would be considered the weak side. So those weaknesses in our lives, He is our shield, our protector, because He stands where we are weak. He is our shade. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. Of course, now obviously the sun's not going to be able to strike you, and the moon's not going to be able to strike you. What they're really getting at there is that God is with you day or night. Whenever it happens, He's with you day or night. He's not going to let things happen to you when the sun's up or the moon's up. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. No matter what the fiery trials are you face, no matter what it is, He is there with you, providing you shade and shield. Paul Harvey used to tell a story about World War II. B-29 bomber, its bombing mission for the day was to go out and bomb Kokura in Japan. That was their primary target. Well, when they send out military missions, those of you that have been in the military know you have a primary target and you have a secondary target, so that if you can't get to your primary target, you do the secondary target. Well, this B-29 got to its primary target in Kokura, Japan, and as they approached, there's this thick cloud hanging over this city, Kokura. Thick cloud, not moving, sitting there still. And you know it's unusual for a cloud just to sit still. They move. So they couldn't do their bombing because they couldn't target and all those kinds of things that they have to do. So they thought, well, you know, clouds move. We'll just hang around here for a little bit and see what happens. So they circled 15 minutes, 30 minutes, 45 minutes, about an hour, the cloud's still there, and they're starting to run low on fuel, so they think, well, I give up on this one, we'll go get our secondary target. So they went and bombed their secondary target, which was Nagasaki. They were carrying our second atom bomb. They were wanting to drop that on the city of Kokura. What they found out a couple of days later, military intelligence discovered that shortly before they went on this bombing run, the Japanese had moved several thousand American prisoners to the city of Kokura. God put that heavy cloud over that city to protect those Americans. The bombers didn't know it at the time. The pilot, the bombardier, they didn't know. All they could tell you was there was this thick cloud there and they couldn't do their mission. So they went and did another one. If they had actually bombed their primary target, Kokura, they would have killed several thousand American soldiers that were prisoners of war. That's the kind of shield that God puts over us. He knows what's going to happen. He knows your situation. And He knows the best way to protect you from harm. We have to have that kind of attitude toward God. that optimistic idea that he is there to watch over us. He is our shield. You all know people that go through life running from Satan. They think to themselves, well, I got to stay out of trouble here. I got to stay out of trouble there. I got to go here, go there. I got to keep away from Satan. And I'll be so glad when I get to heaven because I can slam the door shut and lock it and he can't get to me. Okay? That's not how it works. Heaven is not the only place that you are safe. Yeah, you're 100% safe in heaven, but you are just as safe here on earth if you believe in God and if you have Christ with you and the Holy Spirit in your heart. You do not need to run from Satan. Lead us not into temptation. We say that every Sunday. He does not lead us into temptation. Satan can only do those things which God allows him to do. He has no power of his own. He can only do those things God allows him to do. Just think about this for a minute. I had a minister tell us one time, man I had a great deal of respect for, Dr. Joe Taylor. He said, if you think to yourself, the devil made me do it, or Satan did this, you have created two gods. Because if Satan can do things and God can do things, then you've created another god. Think about that. Kind of makes sense. Satan can only do those things which God allows. We have one God, and then there's Satan. And we have to remember that. You don't have to run from Satan, because if you've got God in your life, he's watching over you, and you have to not fear Satan. Do not fear temptation. There's a young man who was approached by a buddy of his and wanted him to go into some part of the community where he knew he didn't need to be. Christians don't belong in this particular part of the community. And the man couldn't convince him of that, and he wondered why. He says, well, because I won't go any place without my friend, and my friend won't go there with me. So this buddy of his says, well, are you sure? Why don't we just go meet him and ask him if he'll go with us to this place? The young man says, oh no, I can tell you right now, he won't go. His buddy says, well, let's just give it a try. You never know, maybe he will. The young man says, no, listen, I've known this friend for years, and I'm telling you, he will not go. So the buddy of his finally gives in. He says, okay, just who is this friend of yours? The young man says, my friend is the Lord Jesus Christ. And if he won't go, I ain't going either. And that's the way we need to look at life and how we approach the things that we do. If you know that it's wrong and Jesus won't go there, you've got no business going there. Listen to God and he will protect you. He preserves us for all eternity. In 7 and 8 it says, he shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Doesn't that make you feel good? To know that God watches you coming and going and he's with you from now until evermore. What have you got to fear? What have you got to worry about? You should be optimistic and happy. You should know that God is not going to allow anything to happen to you. God is going to provide for you. There was a Christian missionary in Africa who was being pursued by the locals because they didn't want him there spreading his gospel. So he's running from them. And he comes across this little cave. And he ducks inside this cave all out of breath. And thinking to himself, they're going to get me. While he's in this cave, kind of catching his breath, he notices this spider starts building this beautiful thick web over the entrance of the cave. About the time his pursuers catch up to him, they see the cave and they think to themselves, I wonder if he ducked in there. One of the other pursuers says, can't be. Look at that beautiful spider web. If he'd have ducked in there, he would have damaged that spider web. So they went on. They didn't know he was in there. They went on. Well, after it was all over with, this young missionary made the comment that where God is, a spider's web is like a wall. And where God is not, a wall is like a spider's web. Think about that for a minute. God has control. God built that spider web, and there might have been a wall across that cave because those people weren't going in there. But if you're in a situation where you know God's not, a place where you maybe shouldn't be, it doesn't matter how thick a wall is between you and that problem, because it's no better than a spider web that you can walk right through. Where God is, a spider's web is like a wall, and where God is not, a wall is like a spider's web. So think about that. Think about Psalm 121. Where does my help come from? It comes from the Lord. He will keep you. He will not sleep. He will watch over you. He will protect you, provide for you, and preserve you. So why do we worry about life when we know we've got God at our right hand watching over us always and forevermore? Amen.